Thank you, legends, for tuning in to another episode of the Leave Your Mark podcast. As always, I am your host, Miguel Mendoza, and this is the podcast created to help your legacy. And today, you guys, I know we don't do guests very often anymore, but this is a mandatory must-have on the show because this man that we're going to have a conversation with today is a visionary. He is a great leader. He is the owner of a very successful software company called Review Wave. He is a health, fitness, and mindset enthusiast, to put it at the least. But the one and only Matt Prados. How you doing, bro?
Excellent, brother. Good to be here.
Yeah, man. I want to thank you for coming on, man. But even more than that, I want to thank you, bro, for having me come speak at your guys' end of the year party this past December, man. I had a blast. It was incredible. I'd love to even talk about that event, but first I don't want to just thank you for hiring me on and bringing me out, but I want to thank you for not what you saw, but what you see in my future, in my potential. And for that, man, I'm forever grateful for you. And, not because of maybe what everybody else sees, but because of, vision recognizes vision, as I like to say, and, what you saw about to transpire for me in the future. Man, I just forever grateful for you, man. So thank you for that, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. That first phone call was probably one like you had never had before, right?
Correct. No, man, it was good, man. But, I mean, the event itself, bro, you guys went all out. Just even the performers at the end, man, it was definitely an event to remember that I'll always remember. And definitely cherish, man. But I want to get into a whole bunch of stuff, man. Review Wave, all this stuff. But first, what I want to do is I want to get into the individual, the person, right? The grandmaster of all this. I want to get to know Matt. And so what I want to know, bro, is what molded you, what shaped you into being who you are today? Now, was it your childhood upbringing? Was it, you know, reading that one book that kind of just flipped the switch like that, like it did for me? Or what was it for you?
Yeah, I think everybody is in the accumulation of all their experiences. Certainly, as you look back in the past, you can certainly point to, you know, certain dates that are more influential than others. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it was a little bit of everything. I mean, you know, growing up, I was, I played some sports, you know, football, did swimming, but it was more into skateboarding and snowboarding and kind of more the rebel stuff. Dropped out of college, started my sales and marketing career. So there's lots of little decisions and kind of forks in the road that, you know, you go through. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, I always knew, like, I was destined to do big things. And so I never lost sight of just, you know, continuing to put one foot in front of the other, no matter how small that step, you know, seemed to be that day. And then eventually, after enough losses, after enough punches and getting knocked down and getting back up, then, you know, one day you look back and you realize, you know, like, holy, I'm literally where I prayed one day that I would be. Like, I've been on my knees asking for this situation, asking to have the strength to get here, and here I am today. So, and then every time you reach a new mountain, then there's a new, bigger vision available, right? There's yeah, levels to the game. So, you know, I definitely didn't have the vision I have today, even, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, because, you know, I'm not the same person, right? So it's ever evolving. And, you know, you just keep, it's like, you know, I think Kobe talked about it, you know, you're chasing smoke, you know, you can never catch it, right? But you keep moving forward and keep raising that bar.
I love it, man. One key thing you said there was it's building the person, right? It's, you know, you're, as the person grows, the vision grows, right? What are some things, man, that we can do to grow that person, to grow as an individual? What are some practicals?
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't grow up with a rich dad and a poor dad or any real mentors or anybody that did something so big that, you know, it was like something I could look up to. You know, I was very, you know, lower middle class America, you know, very, you know, two kids, white picket fence kind of world. And so, you know, for me, I really didn't start to really develop my personal development until my 20s, and it was, you know, a book here, a book there. Certainly, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad was one of the books, 4-Hour Work Week, another one of the books, you know, definitely changed my life. First time I read Think and Grow Rich, I thought it was the stupidest book ever. I didn't understand it. It wasn't the right time for me. But now as I look back at that book, I go, oh, now I get that book, right? So, you know, you just have to find what you need at that time to find that next version of you. And certainly today with Instagram and, you know, influencers, whether that's a good word or a bad word, but people out there, you know, spreading good messages, right? It's never been easier to surround yourself with more successful people and feed yourself what they're thinking than it is today with social media, right? Like you might not know anybody in your town or in your school or in your, you know, company you work for, but you can get on and you can listen to multimillionaires talk about the way that they think about life and the way they look at business. I mean, it's never been easier. So, you know, if anybody, you know, is trying to better themselves today, just know that it's easier today than it's ever been. But I get it. When you're down in the mud and you're hurting, it still seems like it's hard, but just keep at it.
There's no excuses. In other words, man, there's no damn excuses anymore to not become the best version of yourself. We got all these resources, right? It's just unfortunate that many people use these resources to waste time rather than completely take advantage of time and become the best version of themselves in order to get the things that they want to have and be able to keep it, right? Not only get the things that we're praying for, but be the person that's going to be able to keep them and not lose it and splurge it, man. Absolutely, bro. Yeah, thank you for that, man. I don't watch much TV or movies, but when I do, it's got to be like the come up stories, right? It's got to be the Pursuit of Happiness, even like the like Bohemian Rhapsody. I know it ended like, you know, very rough, but they're come up stories. Like I love these type of stories because it allows me to be like, look, they're no different than us, right? We all started somewhere. We're all human. We're all imperfect. Everybody has a story, right? But I bring this up because I want to kind of get into the movie of you starting your company, right? Like what this looked like, and you can take this wherever you want to go. I am going to ask about, you know, kind of the COVID pivot and everything like that, but please, man, for our audience.
Yeah. You know, so as I mentioned earlier, you know, I had read, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I had read 4-Hour Work Week. And so, you know, I definitely had the entrepreneurial bug of like creating a company, creating, you know, cash flow. I've been in sales my whole life. So, you know, in sales, it's like you have a quota, whether it's a quota for the week, a quota for the month. When that time period's over, you start back at zero and you got to do it all over again. Right. And so while that makes for a very hardened individual that can handle pressure, right, I knew long-term that it wasn't a great business model to start at zero every single month. So then I started to look for businesses that had subscriptions and reoccurring revenue. And, you know, you see that stuff in like network marketing companies where it's like, yep, you get these subscriptions. And I never loved any of the network marketing companies, but I loved the business model. And then I found, you know, software as a service, as a business model. And so, you know, for years I looked at what would be the software that I would create. And so I was in the marketing, I had a marketing agency. We were helping, you know, generate new patients for doctors, but then, you know, the idea of Review Wave came about through some research I did with, internet marketing, you know, almost 10 years ago now, and, the importance of reviews. And so we kind of just started to develop a little piece of software, and then it started to work. And then it was like, you know, the light bulb went off, like, this is a huge opportunity to really, you know, help, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of doctors, you know, influence, you know, millions and millions of patients having a better patient experience by being able to find the best doctors in their area. And, you know, so with that kind of, you know, epiphany of how much good we could do, it was like, all right, it's time to go out of the 4-hour work week kind of model that I had, where, you know, I was probably working 20 hours a week, and I was volunteering at my son's school, like you do. I was the PE teacher for a couple of years for the entire grade, you know, big class and stuff. But I knew it was time to get back to work, and this was the big opportunity. And so we started back at square zero with zero employees in that company and one client, and here we are, you know, 8 years later, 130 plus staff and over 6,000 clients.
Man, that's incredible, man. That is incredible. And so going back into speaking at your end of the year celebration event, I didn't just get to, you know, kick us off, which was awesome on day one, but I got to hang around. And this was to me almost better than giving the speech, which I didn't think I would ever hear myself say. But the reason why it was amazing was because I got to speak to a lot of your staff members and hear their stories, listen to them get up there and speak. And there's something I noticed, man, is you have really built an amazing culture. You've built an amazing environment that's positive, that's let's go get it. That's, you know, we're not going to look at limitations. We're going to look at solutions, look at ways we can get through this. And it's a reflection of your amazing leadership, but also it's one of the first times I've gotten to really have a deep dive into what a corporate vision looks like, right? So everybody has a personal vision, right? I truly believe that God gives us a vision. We discover it at different times in our life, maybe. But for those of us who actually manifest that vision, who actually feed it, cultivate it, take care of it, nourish it, do what's required for it, we'll, in one way or the other, in one point of our lives, come across a corporate vision. So what a corporate vision is, for those, you know, listening who don't know, it is a corporation, a business, a team that all have a vision for that team. And then what it's supposed to do, a true corporate vision should actually help the individuals in that group get closer to their personal vision, all within that corporate vision, right? And I remember speaking with somebody, I forget the gentleman's name, but he tells me his backstory about being very into the medical field, medical industry, and him working with ReviewWave has helped him get closer to that vision because obviously you guys work so many healthcare professionals and everything like that. So, and just talking about the culture and everything and how great it is, and to where he feels like he is truly living out his vision within your corporate vision. So this is very hard to do. It can be very complicated, but I mean, I would love for you to kind of help us understand how you balance that, how you balance the main team goal while still allowing your individuals, your employees, your staff members to flourish in their goals and their vision.
Yeah, so it's actually not a still allowing them to do it kind of thing. It's more of when you have your vivid vision or corporate vision, you attract the people that have similar goals. And then as a leader, you have to make sure that your dream is big enough to help all of your team members achieve their dreams, right? And so they go hand in hand. And really, culture for me goes back to, you know, our garage days. So when we first started the company, it was literally my house. And then, you know, it was time to get an office and, you know, get a staff member. And so we did that. But like, I could pay $15 an hour. That's all I could afford. And I wasn't even being paid in the company, right? The company wasn't making enough money to pay me. And so I had to be able to give them more value than just a paycheck, right?
Yeah.
And a number of my guys that were, you know, came in the garage days are still with us today and have grown tremendously and, you know, really forwarded their careers because they stuck with it and they saw the potential. But culture's a double-edged sword, right? You have to go all in on your culture so that you can, one, attract the people that you will help win and they'll help you win and you guys will all get along. But you also have to repel the people that won't help you get where you're going, that will distract you. You have to try to figure out how to get those people to not try to come work with you. You know, and that's, I think, more important in a lot of cases, is keeping those people away, so the other people can enjoy their work. So the Vivid, if you want to know more about company vision, there is a book literally called Vivid Vision by Cameron Harold. Totally recommend that. But yeah, so early on, I knew I had to have the, you know, core values, the culture. I had to attract the right people that were motivated by more than just money, right? They weren't just looking for a paycheck to, you know, pop in, work, you know, 8 hours and leave. So it's been something that we've really, developed over the last 8 years. And today, there's definitely people, you saw lots and lots of people, testimonials, people winning, et cetera, that, love being part of RevueWave. The flip side of that, I'm also going to be the villain in some people's stories, right? Some people that didn't make it, that weren't willing to grow, weren't willing to continue to grow. Some people have a ceiling of what they can handle. Like they're good in a company that's maybe, 1 to 10 people or 10 to 20 people, right? And some people have a box and they just can't grow out of that box. I read somewhere statistically, you lose 85% of your staff every time you grow by 3x. And we've gone from one staff member to 133 staff members. So the number of 3x's we've done is certainly significant, right? So core values and culture has been a key in guiding us down that path and allowing us to be a bootstrapped company to grow to, this significant of a size.
That's tough though, man. It's tough to be the bad guy in somebody's story. We don't want to, right? We all grow up wanting to be the good guys, right? We don't want to be the villain. We don't even want to be perceived as the villain. In other words, we're people pleasers, right? We want to please everybody. But why is that so important to have that almost that mindset of having to be okay with being misunderstood or having to be okay with that? Like, why is that so valuable?
I mean, if anybody's going to do something truly great, it's not going to make everybody happy, right? I mean, you have produced nothing but positive messages, but I can guarantee you have people creep into your DM saying some pretty shady shit, right?
Yep.
Why
Absolutely.
does that rub them the wrong way, right? A year and a half ago, I was 250 pounds. I'm down to 220 right now. But when I was, 30 pounds overweight, when fitness guys would get on Instagram and talk about, hey, people are fat and lazy, I would get mad, like, hey, screw you. I'm, better than that or whatever. But the truth was, I was fat and I was not working out as much and I was drinking too much and I was eating the wrong foods, right? And so people don't want to be wrong. And so they'll lash out against the people that are actually telling the truth a lot of the times. So you just have to be, you have to be willing. If you want to do something great in this life, you have to be willing to know that there's going to be a good percentage of people that just don't like you for it.
Factual statement right there, man. They hit me in the comments too, by the way. Not even just the DMs. They're just like, let me get this guy in every way possible. And man, to piggyback off you, you're absolutely right. There are always going to be people that do not like you. There's always going to be people who just want to see you lose. And maybe it's a reflection of, them going after their dreams and not working out. Maybe it's a reflection of them feeling guilt of not getting done what they need to get done, right? Like watching the fitness enthusiast when you are, 50, 100 pounds overweight and you just like, smirk at them and you're just like, man, these guys are, whatever, meatheads that don't know this or that. And so, absolutely, there's always going to be people that don't like you in whatever profession you're in. You can be a minister that's not fraudulent and there's going to be people that don't like you. It's like, but I'm doing good. And so, yeah, so that's one of the things is that and being willing to be misunderstood because, not everybody is gonna see the vision. Not everybody's gonna see what you have, even if it's gonna benefit them. Even if it's the people that you're doing it for, right? The people that like family members. I know I talked about that a lot while, during my speech about family members, not understanding the vision and having to persevere and push through that anyways. And so yeah, man, I appreciate that gold and that nugget right there, bro. Let's pivot over to I want to talk about the pandemic, right? Because I hearing, your speech and a whole bunch of other people's testimonies about RevueWave. I know there was a point where during the pandemic, you're trying to figure out what to do, where to go, how to not only keep this thing alive, but how to continue to flourish in this time, right? Because when hard times come that are very unexpected, I believe that's just a, life weeding out the people who don't really want it. Maybe they say they want it, maybe they don't, whatever the case may be. Sorry for those background effects.
Oh, it's
Don't know
amazing. I
what
love
the
it.
heck they are. Maybe it's just because I'm going off. Who knows? But yeah, man. So tell us about how the pandemic was for you guys, what you did, what was the mindset?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, nobody knew at the time what was happening. You know, was the world coming to an end? Is everything shutting down? You know, lots of businesses were furloughing everybody and just, you know, sitting on, you know, their own cash flow and only taking care of themselves, et cetera. But I, you know, in the tech world, prior to the pandemic, people raised a lot of money. They were spending lots of money, and software companies like ours would literally lose money every single month, called a burn rate. And so when the pandemic hit, like, money dried up, they had to stop doing that. So they furloughed a lot of people, and we were watching all this, and we didn't. We bootstrapped the whole way, didn't raise any money. So I didn't have to answer to anybody, you know, but I, you know, it was a hard decision, but, you know, my wife and I sat down and said, hey, you know what, well, we're not going to furlough anybody. We're going to figure this thing out. We're going to keep growing despite what's going on in the world. And we did, and, you know, we stayed open. We were essential, as they called it at the time, you know, but it was interesting because in California, as we continue to try to hire, people didn't want to work. People were actually paying more by the state of California to not work than they would get to pay to work.
Yeah.
And so it was a very interesting time and certainly a challenging time to recruit new team members and to continue the growth. And with everything that California did, we, you know, we basically made the decision we were going to open up a Texas office because we needed a government that had more freedoms and, you know, less restrictions. And so it was either Florida or Texas. We chose Texas. It was closer, and super happy with that. Love our team out in Texas. We've been out there for a couple of years now, and that office has grown tremendously. It's our HQ these days. But you know, we've still to this day never had a mass layoff event. You know, we've stayed you know, fiscally responsible with our finances, et cetera. And but yeah, that was a very challenging time as an entrepreneur to not only, because it's not only responsible for you, but I mean, we had like 70 staff at the time. So that's 70 families. A lot of them had kids, you know, so it's not just 70 mouths. It's like 300 mouths, 400 mouths. And so it was definitely a trying time and no shortage of stress. When I started this company, I was a lot less gray. I have to keep this haircut short, keep those grays away. But, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world these days.
These things, we need them, right? We need them to keep that innovator within us and being able to pivot and redirect and find a way to just freaking get through it, right? Find a way to win no matter what. And those are the champions, right? That's the difference between the champions and the losers, is the champions are going to find a way to win. They're going to find a way to push through. They're going to find a way, no matter what's holding them back, no matter what the circumstances or situation. And then there's the other end of people who are just looking for any reason to fold, right? They're looking for any reason to just throw in the towel and give up. I forget what the stat was, but it's well over 50% of businesses don't last beyond 3 years. Great example, man, of how to pivot, how to persevere, how to find a way to make it work. When it comes to leadership, right? I know we've already dabbled on it a lot, but what are some ways someone can sharpen their leadership, or if they just don't see themselves as a great leader, what are some practical things that they can do to kind of turn that around?
Yeah, the fastest way to get better as a leader is to pay for help, right? So how do you pay for help? That could, I mean, could be as little as invest your time and listen to podcasts, right? Listen to, you know, what people are going through. It's certainly, you know, $20, pick up a book, read a book. You know, the getting that education is vital. But then also I would say get in situations where you are tested, right? My biggest personal development breakthroughs always came when my back was to the wall, right? When the pressure was so great, there was no other option but to win. Like if you have the option to quit, you're probably going to quit, right? You have to get rid of the options. That's why people talk about burning boats and bridges and all those things, right? Those examples. But if you look at the greats, I'll tell you the thing that I believe that separates real high level people that will do great things in this life and low level people that will just, you know, for lack of a better term, be losers, is the ability to handle pressure, right? I was communicating earlier this week with one of my board members, And he was putting the pressure on. You know, I was trying to make his decision pushing. He was pushing back. And I mean, that's his job. I literally pay him to do these things, right? And he's putting pressure on me. And then, you know, I go, you know, to the other place. I have lots of different coaches that I pay to put pressure on me, right? You know, as the CEO of a company, you know, your team doesn't necessarily put pressure on you. You know, you have people that answer to you, right? I do pick really good people so that, you know, they do make me want to be a better leader, which is a type of pressure, but there's a different type of pressure where like people are coming down on you, you know, from a place of authority, right? From a coach or a mentor, et cetera. So, you know, get in positions where you can get pressure applied. You know, if you're in a job right now and you complain that there's too much pressure at your place of work, just realize like that's a loser mentality. You're being a loser when you say that. And you need to pivot on that and embrace that. Pressure is a privilege. It will make you grow. It will make you become the person that you're destined to be. You know, what is it? You know, grapes have to get squashed to become wine. You know, coal has to have pressure to become diamonds. You know, there's lots of analogies, but you know, for you to become your greatest version of yourself, somebody's going to have to push you because very, very few people can do it on their own.
That accountability, right? When it comes to that pressure and challenges, accountability is huge. I'm kind of a hypocrite when I say that, man, because I'm kind of on an island over here in Portland. You know what I mean? It's not like being in LA where I could just be, you know, surrounded by people, I guess, in my field and stuff like that. But I mean, I want to talk about this a bit later, but I kind of hold myself accountable in that way of, I guess, pretend mentors, right? I got it out of Think and Grow Rich. And I want to talk about this later because I have a question for you about it. But yeah, accountability is huge, man, to hold yourself accountable to that pressure. And man, I feel the same way. And all it is for me was it was the flip of a mindset. Right. Really nothing needed to change except how I viewed it. Right. I think Wayne Dyer said, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And so for me, no matter what job it was, restaurant jobs, which are always high pressure, being, I don't know, front desk at a gym during prime time. Right. Everybody's coming in after work and got a million things going on, whatever the case may be. It was just the shift of a mindset of I was built for this. I was designed for pressure, right? I was molded. I was knitted in my mother's womb for pressure. This is who I am. And so it's literally just saying those things to myself. You say it to yourself enough, you're going to start to believe it. And that also works for the negative things as well. So I'd be very cautious of what you are saying to yourself, but absolutely, man, the ability to handle that pressure is going to be everything. I want to go over to fitness. Okay. So you talked about, you know, losing the weight and you're crushing it, bro, your work ethic and everything. And I'm sure you've noticed some differences when it comes to, you know, running a business, running an organization, and then taking care of yourself, health and fitness wise, and running a business, running an organization. Why is fitness so important to business?
I mean, fitness is crucial to your ability to think clearly, you know, have mental clarity, right? And handle pressure. You know, it's like if you took me 2 years ago and time machine me to today, I'd literally have a heart attack trying to handle what I do today versus what I did 2 years ago, right? It's drastically different because I'm a drastically different person. Now, on the flip side, I thought I was doing a lot 2 years ago. And if you took me today and dropped me in 2 years ago, like I could do it blindfolded, you know, with one hand. Like it would just, it's easy, right? So you get better as you get time under pressure. But, you know, working out, getting your food dialed in, you know, most people just don't understand how effed up they are, right? Like you're eating big food, which is, you know, high in sugars and all these toxins, you know, fake meat, all these different things. Like you're putting all this garbage in your body, you know, drinking on the weekends or maybe during the week too, you know, you're adding all these toxins and you just don't realize how bad you feel. Last year, when I started really like got serious, September 2nd, 2023, I started 75 hard. It took 60 days to fully detox from all those things until I was really like, whoa, like this is a different, I'm a different person here 60 days later. And, you know, for the first 30 days, you don't really see tons of results. You see some. The next days 30 through 40, it gets a little bit better, but then it starts to really multiply and you start to feel way, way better. You know, where before it was hard to get up at 6 a.m. Like I rolled out of bed this morning at 4:22 a.m. with no alarm clock, completely awake and ready to go. You know, was drinking coffee at 4:30, you know, doing my personal time, meditation, quiet time. I was at the gym, you know, 5:45. You know, it's like I've got more done in my morning before most people wake up.
That's right.
And so it's just, it's a completely different life. Right. And so you're sacrificing instant gratification with the junk food, the fast food, the alcohol, the drugs, whatever you may be doing for long-term success and survival. But when you're in it, you don't even see how far you follow. So it's like, if you're listening to this and you're like, you're getting triggered right now, that's good. That means you already know you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. And so you just need to stop and actually change it, right? Because until you change it, you're going to be that negative person who's going to want to jump in the comments and throw a bunch of, you know, dirty emojis in there and say nasty things. But like, that's on you if you're feeling that way. So it's not the message. It's how you are receiving it.
That's right. I want to talk about reading. Reading. I got that. I got that saying, readers are leaders, right? And you listen to any successful entrepreneur, someone giving a speech, someone giving anything, they talk about how many books they read throughout the year, right? Why? Why is that such a common denominator, right? With successful people or people who have, you know, gained that wealth, generational wealth, whatever the case may be. Matt, why is reading so important?
Well, man, I think reading is crucial because it's so freaking cheap that anybody can do it. Like go get a library card and check a book out. Like you don't even need money, right? But I would say it's not just reading. It's actually improving yourself, right? Because you could read 50 Shades of Grey and it's not going to do anything for your business life or your mental health, right? It might even go reverse. It might go backwards, right? So, it's like there's that, what's that story about the two wolves, right? Everybody's got two wolves in them. One's good and one's evil. And the little boy asks, you know, the dad, which one wins? And the dad says, you know, it depends which one you feed, right? So it's, are you feeding your evil wolf? Or are you feeding your good wolf, right? So it's what you're consuming. I love books because I think the stats are, it takes like 7 years of expertise to be able to write a book on something. And you can read a book in what? 3 hours or 4 hours. So you can literally gain what took somebody 7 years to learn in 4 hours. So you can expedite your way to success by reading the right books. But today, you know, I would expand that from books to books, podcasts, events, masterminds. There's so many different things that you can do to forward yourself. And I love, you know, I mean, a podcast anywhere from, you know, like 7 minutes to, you know, 75 minutes. I mean, it's not a lot of time, right? You can listen to that or multiple ones while you're working out or while you're taking a walk. And so you can just continuously feed yourself those things. As a leader, you know, we put a library in our offices. We suggest certain books. We require certain books to be read because you can leverage these books to help people, you know, get the data they need to be successful at their job and in life, right? So books are vital. I have been more a podcast guy for the last 60 days than I have books. I've read a little bit of books, but I also like, I'll pick up a book and if it's not good and like actionable in like the first couple chapters, like I'm out, right? Like there's a lot of books out there that are garbage. So you also have to pick the right books that are going to actually do something. Like you read it, what are you going to do with what you've just read? Because if you just read it to read it and it doesn't change your life and it doesn't change your behavior in some way, you didn't gain anything. It was entertainment, not, you know, educational.
That's a great point. I'm sure me and you both know of a lot of people who have no problem reading, who are excited to buy new books and A, they either don't read them or two, they read them and there's zero application, right? And so I love that you said that, man. I love that you said, You know, it's not just reading, it is podcasting. Obviously, for those of you listening to this podcast, you already have that idea. It's going to mastermind groups, investing in yourself, right? We'll invest in, you know, crap that we won't care about 10 years from now, but how much are we willing to invest in ourselves? And a lot of these are free resources, right? YouTube University, libraries, all that good stuff, man. So no, appreciate that wisdom right there. Absolutely. All right. I'm almost done with you, man. And I'll let you go, but I got this next question. I got two more for you. This next question is more so of a kind of get to know Matt, but also some good ideas here. So in the book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, he talks about kind of this imaginary meeting. Okay. Mm-hmm. He talks about this imaginary meeting, and in this imaginary meeting, he has people call it a board or whatever you may. He closes his eyes and he imagines himself at this table, circle table, square table, long table, whatever. And there are a certain amount of people sitting at this table. Now, for him, he chose people like Abraham Lincoln. I think Henry Ford was in there, but people who, and they each serve their purpose. So it's not just like the six most richest people in the world. It's people who connect with him, people who inspire him, people who challenge him, people who have just taught him so much, right? From either reading their stuff or whatever the case may be. Matt, I want you to give us your, I want to say six. It can be less than six. It can be more than six. Your six people that are in your imaginary meeting. They can either be still with us or they could be passed on. Okay. So to not put you right on the spot, I'm going to go first. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go first. So for me, it started with six, but it had to be seven. I needed to throw somebody else in there. So, so when I close my eyes, I picture the person to my right, we're going counterclockwise. The person to my right is Jordan Peterson. Next to Jordan Peterson is Les Brown. Next to Les Brown is Steve Jobs. And then kind of right in front of me, across the table is Myron Golden. Next to him is Dr. Miles Monroe. Next to him is David Goggins. And then next to him, the person which would be to my left is, I'm not bad at brain fart this, is Tim Grover, trainer of Michael Jordan. He's got some great books. Yeah. But okay, that's my table. And so we'll talk a little bit more about the effectiveness of this after, but go ahead, man. Floor's yours.
So I mean, it's an interesting thing to look at. So if it was, it would depend on the purpose of that room.
Right.
Because there's certainly some very old people, you know, from ancient history that would be amazing to chat with. However, if we're talking, you know, business today kind of stuff,
yes,
you know, there's one of the biggest VC firms, and what is his name? And Andretti would be a very interesting person to have at the table. One of the people that's influenced me a lot over the years, Dan Martell, is a friend of mine. If it was business today, I would definitely, you know, he's an expert in the SaaS world. I'd definitely have him at the table. I've gotten to meet and be friends with Tim Grover. So, you know, I love Tim. I probably wouldn't have him at the table for a particular business for me in the software and technology worlds, but right. He's a great guy. Tim Ferriss would be interesting to have at that table. Very Zen. Richard Branson, just big ideas. I mean, that guy, you know, about as big as they come, right, on ideas. Elon Musk would be an amazing individual to have at the table. One of the guys that, you know, influences me a lot on my fitness and habits and discipline is a gentleman named Wes Watson. Totally night and day different from everybody else at the table, but does huge things in his life. So I think he would finish us out there.
I love it, man. That's a solid table. And I like how you were the one that brought up what's the purpose of the table, right? And from reading Think and Grow Rich, or from even just from what I want from this table, That's exactly it. It is business minded, but more thought provoking, right? Because me as a podcaster and even as a fitness trainer, as, from what I do, there can be times where I get, you could say, writer's block, right? Writer's block. And I need some thoughts to flow. I need some ideas to come in. And there's several things that I do. This is never really a crazy issue. But once I read this book and came across this, I'm like, man, this is beautiful. Because, you know, you know so much about these people from reading their books, from listening to them speak, from, in your case, meeting them also, which is awesome, that you can kind of visualize and imagine what they would say to you from either an idea that you have or a topic. Let's say for me, a topic for a podcast episode, and I want some ideas from what I think Jordan Peterson would say, right? What I think, you know, Dr. Miles Monroe would say, like what I think these people would say, or even David Goggins, you know, tell me I'm being a wuss and I need to figure it out. And yeah, that's the purpose for this. Hopefully this can, you know, influence someone to get some ideas flowing, to get some thoughts flowing, because that's where everything starts. Everything starts from the idea, and then it can come out into its physical equivalent after that. But I got one more question for you, Matt. You've been awesome, bro. This has been a lot of value for even me. This podcast is about legacy, right? It's about not trying to build a legacy, but doing what we're called to do, doing what's required. And as a result, from impacting so many people's lives, we then leave a legacy, right? So for you, man, I want to do this in two different parts. What would you like your family to remember you for? And then what would you like the world to remember you for?
You know, I mean, the world is a big one, as far as, like, you know, being that well known that the world would actually remember you. You know, I don't crave to be, you know, like traveling and doing the stages thing like Tim Grover does. I love Tim. He's amazing. I love his message, but like, that's not a life that I want to do necessarily. So I'm more that guy in the back of the room that like, I can help a lot of businesses that can help, you know, millions and millions of people. And like, I'll be happy with that. So I'm more of, you know, my legacy will be, I don't really look at it necessarily being world famous, but more as just like, at the end of the day, you know, I know that I helped, you know, affect change, right? Make big change. And definitely with the people around me, I've really grown to the point where I get more enjoyment out of watching our team members grow, personally develop, you know, start, you know, move from being bachelors to engaged, from engaged to married, from married to married with children, buying their houses, like just really growing and becoming, you know, men and leaders that, that I wish I would have had growing up, right? Like I think the world is leaderless in a very big way today. So I really want to make a lot of individual, you know, leaders that go out and affect change, you know, because it's just the world is very lost right now. So, you know, I'll do my part to help it stabilize and be less of a scary, confused place and create people who can be the calm in the storm. You know, because I definitely think we are currently being run by weak people, which are creating hard times. And so I think we're in the time period of we're building strong people, because it is weak times right now. So you know, I take it as my legacy to help build strong people. No more participation trophies, no safe words, no timeouts, you know, just strength and get it done.
That's right, man. That's right. Well, you are doing your part plus some, man. And if you don't hear it enough, man, you're just you're top notch, man. You're the real deal. And the only reason why the world doesn't know about you is probably because you don't care for the world to know about you, man. But because of what you're doing, the impact, your leadership, man, it's stuff that people would spend money on to get in your brain and buy your books and watch your speeches. But you're doing your part, man. And I appreciate you being on this podcast and sharing that wisdom, man, and that fortune in your mind with us, man. So I appreciate you.
Appreciate the kind words, and I appreciate you, and I love that you're getting out there and spreading such a positive message and helping inspire people to be a better version of themselves. And you know, I think that so many of them need the message that you have. And so I knew it the first time I saw you. I knew that on that call that we had, I knew you're this is just the beginnings of an amazing career. You're going to get out there. You're going to do all those great things. You're going to speak on the biggest of stages. You're going to help, millions and millions of people become what they want to become. So I'm very proud of watching you on that journey.